Blog Talk Radio.
At Blog Talk Radio, and we're in officially, guys, this is officially the 1st of August. The good news is it's August, and the better news is that August has 31 days. So that means we have at least 31 days of what we know to be playtime here in the summer. And let's just, you know, keep it going and keep our toes in the pool, or our walks and the hikes of the forest, or wherever we need to go in our lives, because this is an official, what I call, like, you know, hooky playing month, that you have to give it a shot to really see, you know, all the quite wonderful things that that can go on this month. And if you have what I would call, you know, grandchildren, children, nieces, nephews, any of those folks, they will most definitely be wanting you to go out there and doing your thing to play. So, you know, get to it, because we all know that August 31st, things will start to change a little bit here. I just have like a couple of announcements that I want to make, and I'm hoping that, you know, our guest calls in pretty soon. You know, he's on the California time zone, so it may be a little bit of a try here. But I'm doing, which I haven't done really, really in a long time, I'm doing an event at the end of this month, August the 23rd, in Saratoga. And some good friends of mine that I haven't, you know, done any events in that area quite ever. Actually, I do use the Albany, but they got together, and it's actually at the Comedy Club, which is really well known there. So I'm actually really excited about doing that, and it is, of course, high season in Saratoga. For all of you people who do not know this, it is the high time to go to the racetrack, which a lot of people don't know. Saratoga actually is, I believe, the oldest racetrack in this country. So that is pretty, pretty cool. I'm also going to give you the number to call in here. It's 347-945-7785, 347-945-7785. If you are on the line to wait for sessions, for readings, stay on the line. You will get them. You might even get them sooner than later. I know I have some 916 stay on the line, a 415 to stay on the line, or the 337. Stay on the lines, and you probably have a good shot. If not before my guest comes in, certainly toward the end of the evening, which is usually when I do these things. In any case, so back to the Saratoga event. So it's at the Comedy Club, and it should be really, really fun. It's August the 23rd. It's a Tuesday night. And if you are coming to Saratoga for the racetrack, I just want to remind you that Tuesday night is the night that the racetrack is off. So that's why we decided to do it on that night. It was a good night, because for people that are major, major, you know, horse people, they don't generally like to miss any days whatsoever. So that's a real important one to know, because that's why we decided to do the event that day. And like I say, for people that are horse people, you know, they need something to do that night. So we decided that was the way we would do it. So anyway. So just really, really quick here, a couple of the things I also want to mention. Not only am I going to be in Saratoga in August, but by prying from my southern folks, I'm also going to be back in Nashville, Tennessee in September. So it was, I have to say, very special and very, very cool last year. And so I'm really, really looking forward to returning. I you know, it's interesting when you go to always for me, going to different, you know, necks of the woods in different parts of the country, how in some ways people are very different, and in other ways they're actually very much the same. And that sameness is always that connecting with loved ones is always a really, really important thing for us all to experience in our lives. So I'm going to just sort of say that I'm looking forward to for the fall from a lot of places I'm going to be. I'm going to be back to the Cape again this year. I will be back to Roanoke. I'm actually going to be at ARE, Edgar Cayce, in November this year as well. Of course, I will be returning to Cromwell for my biannual event. And just sort of like some of the nice things we got coming. I'll be back to California in October. So just, you know, sort of stay tuned. As always, go to my webpage and sort of like check that out. So what I'm going to do, which I usually don't do, and again, the number to call is 347-945-7785. The lines are open. There are a few on it. And I might go ahead and sort of take a caller while I'm waiting for my guest to call in. Let's see who's on the line here. Hi, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, wonderful to meet you. My name is Wendy.
Where are you from, Wendy?
Sacramento, California.
Oh, Sacramento. Cool. Yes, very cool. I've been there for the last couple of years. I'm working on whether I'm going to be coming back again, but it will be in October. So, Kate, stay tuned to that on the schedule. How can I help you, Wendy? You've been holding on for a while because my producer's been letting me know this.
Oh, thank you. I've been applying online for some very nice call center jobs. I recently applied at Blue Shield for their call center job. I had a panel interview this past Friday. And do you think that they'll hire me, and will I be able to keep the job for at least 5 years?
That's a fair loaded question, Wendy. This is not my super area. Generally, my area is connecting with people that have crossed over. But let me just sort of share that with you, is whether you do or you don't get this job, I'm not going to, like, hold you to it, but I do think you will be getting something fairly soon, within a month or two. How long it will last, I can't tell you, but I do think that it will be some kind of a job that will have some kind of a ground. And usually when I get things with ground, it usually means that it has some more surface or foundation with it. So I would certainly hang in there and keep looking on your way.
Okay. Are you more of an empath?
I work more as a medium. That's really my specialty.
Wonderful. My beloved brother passed. Tragically, on March the 2nd of this year.
Okay.
And he's in heaven, and so are my beloved parents. Do they have any message for me?
What I will do is I'm going to give you one message here. I want to know who's the male vibration, Wendy, that I'm getting with a D name. There's a David, there's a Daniel, there's a Donnie. I don't know if he's here or he's passed, but there's a... And who's that, please?
David is my beloved brother.
Okay, got it. So, obviously he's here. So there you go.
Okay.
So now, you said this is your uncle, your father's brother? Or this is your brother?
David, my beloved brother, passed on March the 2nd of this year, and my beloved father, Ralph, and mother and beloved mother, Luana, passed years ago.
Got it. Okay. So it's your brother that's showing up. I just want to double check here because you were coming in and out, so I wasn't sure. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or whatever. Sometimes we don't always get that connection here. So in any case, obviously your brother's here, and he's letting you know he's here. But I'm going to sort of say this quite literally. He tells me he did pass very fast. Boom, gone. I mean, very fast. And it looks like his issues would have been upper part of body. And which usually means to me not of right mind or something like that would have not been right of him if he would have survived the situation. So I want you to know that it's his way of, like, letting you know he's not only fine and well, but he would not have been fine and well if he would have survived the circumstances. So I think it's important for you to know that. And I also think it's important for you to know that he's actually made visitation to you since he's passed.
He's been visiting me?
He most definitely has made visitation to you since he's passed. So,
does he know how deeply I love him? And hopefully,
I don't even think you have to even question that, my dear. I think he most definitely knows that. So, as you can see, he showed up right away, and he's obviously keeping an eye on you. And you know, he's saying, like, Wendy, you know what? You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine.
And if he wants to be a spirit guide, that would be wonderful.
And I'm sure he's most definitely going to keep his quickest heels, as they would say, and keep him going. Okay, Wendy, you have a great night and a great summer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's just take a look here. Hi, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Oh, I am the guest for the evening.
Jared, you showed up. I never know about California people, even though you're from New York. I never know about California people. they always had a little bit of their own time schedule, and I didn't have the same number for the record that you had given me. So we were also here you are. More importantly,
appearing.
So welcome to the show, Jared.
Thank you.
So I have lots of questions for you, and I know you have lots of questions because I know you're supposed to be funny and humorous and all that, and I can actually sort of tell you from your book. Before we get into your book, Drowning in the Light, Memories of a New Age, I have to tell you that I absolutely love this book, by the way, and I get to read a lot of books on my show. Besides kind of a lot of the obvious things, and we will or we won't talk about them, but actually there was some similar, not always similar, but there were some actually parallel journeys in your life and mine. So I found that part kind of really, really interesting. I mean, we took a little bit of a different course in one way and not so much in another. So I have to say I was pretty thrilled because obviously I'm in New York as well, although I was not raised in New York, New York. I was raised in the western part of the state, but I've lived in New York City because I'm living outside of New York City right now. But anyway, and I know you're a Brooklyn boy, but I have to say that I really, really, thoroughly enjoyed this book. And like I said, I get to read a lot of them. And for my listening audience, by the way, the number to call in is 347-945-7785. My special guest is Jared Rosen, and the book is called Drowning in the Light, Memories of the New Age. And to say that the book is well, it's a really, really interesting journey, I have to say. But what I am going to say is that I get to read a lot of books on my shows about people who have spiritual journeys and how they get to one place to another and sort of like, what comes up and what doesn't. Yours is different. But it's different because I think that in one way you took a different path than some people that I know or that I've, had on my show about their spiritual journey. But in another way, what I have to say that I have actually a lot of respect for you is that when you said you delved deep into your psyche, you really did delve deep into your psyche.
No
pun intended. You definitely
with no tag on it as well.
No tag on it. You definitely hit the ground running.
The sea
so,
of unconsciousness.
It was definitely the sea of unconsciousness for sure. So I know there's basic questions that I know that you are probably usually asked about And again, to my listening audience, I mean, if you want to have a great, it's really a really good read. But like I said, it's a little different from the books that I usually have on my show. But what I think that I want to sort of say is I will actually ask you some of the questions you had. But because of my own so many things that I liked about the book, I'll certainly have my own as well. But always a kind of an opening question is you came up with the title Drowning in the Light, which I understand. In explicitly from reading your book, but if you were to give a real quick kind of bio and the subtitle about it, which is really kind of interesting, Memories of a New Age, Why Past Tense, and we could talk to Ever for just about the New Age and what that all you and I we could have a real conversation about that, Jared. So
right.
So you came up with Drowning in the Light because I'm gathering there was quite an obvious view about drowning. What do you mean drowning? We mean submerged, can't breathe. That's generally what the word kind of means. So that's kind of what you did on your journey. I mean, I know that's what you did on your journey, but share that with my listening audience.
Well, you know, nothing is ever really intentional when you're just sort of flying by the seat of your pants, or what I would call free-falling in life. You just sort of, things show up. But there's something that inspired me my whole life, which was I saw the world very differently. And I reflect that in my book, hopefully in an artistic way, and how I saw looking at people and the space between people and saying, well, what if that space is really not space? It's all energy, and it's different frequencies of energy, and it's like pieces of fruit in a Jell-O mold. Here's his mind, and like sitting there when I'm supposed to be doing arithmetic. And so I ended up becoming an artist, because it was like, where else could I go but into my imagination, into the interior world? And, you know, and so the book really kind of chronicles that sort of the artist's view of reality. And, of course, I experiment with, you know, with various kinds of hallucinogenics and things as an artist, and you know, and mugged at, you know, gunpoint on mushrooms and these kinds of stories to make it a fun read where I end up in Peru.
Yes, I
you know,
remember
on the
that
shamanic
one, yes.
journey. You know, and so it's sort of like I go from there, from the streets of New York and Andy Warhol and parties, to, you know, drinking black tobacco juice, pisco alcohol, and let's see what else was in the mix, taboo perfume with San Pedro cactus in a seashell through my nose. I'm like, well, how did I end up here? And so each time in this journey, it's like, you know, there's times when I'm kind of unhinged. And I'm just driving, and I pick up a person before I know it. I'm at a Native American Sundance. I mean, so it's actually real. It's like, it all didn't happen in that period over, you know, maybe a couple, few decades. But the story really takes the reader with me on a very sort of obscure or obtuse path to discover that light and energy is really at the heart of who we are, and everything else is just sort of a holographic projection. And then from all that, of course, you know, I use the Zen cone to sort of share the journey. The Zen cone, that is, first there is a, it was a song by Donovan too, if you remember. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. So like, first it was like reality, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm in school and this is reality. And then before I know it, I'm like, this whole thing is just a dream. And then, of course, where my book leads people is, you know, first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, it doesn't exist, then there is, and I find myself in my body with a life-threatening disease. So it's sort of like the life-threatening disease and the journey, you know, is very similar to the shamanic journey. You know, it's all kind of the same thing, which is sort of this wiggle between dark and light.
Well, what you know, I mean, you know, understanding, because I've been doing this, you know, kind of as long as you've been doing this, what I found that was, there was obviously, there was a lot of things that I found, and I understand the you know, the artistic stuff, totally get that, what that path entails, wanting to go down that path, going down that path and not being the path, in the way that you actually wanted it to be, and then having the opportunity, to, like you said, to be involved with, you know, Warhol and, you know, and Keith Haring and, you know, all of these people during this time, which is what's kind of like what was sort of like happening. But I kind of like felt when you were doing this, and you can obviously correct me, is that you had this grand passion for art, you know, which was pretty obvious, and you had it at a very young age, and then you sort of like, it felt like you were, because we all do this, we're trying to, like, quote unquote, fit within the circle, but you really didn't.
Oh, I was a circle. I was a round peg. I want to
say
round peg, because round is definitely much more spatial and right brain. The square hole was school, literally.
Yeah.
It was like they put you in a square room. It's like a coffin with furniture.
Yeah. And no, that's what I'm saying. I could so much relate to this, but the thing I thought was also kind of interesting is that, you know, what I've always known is true, and I've always, you know, had difficulty is probably the wrong word, but and if you are an artist, how can you not be connected to what we're talking about? I mean, like, how can that not be so prevalent in everything that you create, everything that you do?
Right.
So, I kept getting that in between the spaces, you know, when you were doing this whole heart thing about, you know, like, your passion was your art, but how you were trying to integrate it with these other artists was very different. I mean, you know, you were kind of a whole, I mean, you know, you were still thinking about UFOs in between it all, you know, so it's like.
Well, you know, exactly. Well, this is, it's interesting that we're in that chapter of this book because it was a very interesting chapter. And I think what I discovered was the art world was a deconstruction of everything I thought I was. So, like, my whole suburban childhood of Wonder Bread and, you know, and Howdy Doody became my art. And then out of the art came, like, it ripped open, and there were, like, spaceships and ETs that, during the same time, another person that I knew, we weren't really too friendly, but, I, Keith Haring and I did a few things together before he went on and became famous, is another fellow, really great artist, lives in Los Angeles, Kenny Scharf, and he, like, took a lot of this imagery and iconography, like the Flintstones and the Jetsons. I mean, his work, you know, sells for, you know, I'm sure, you know, as a blue-chip artist and stuff, but to take that iconography, and so, but out of that, out of deconstructing that whole world and that illusion, it took me into physics, and then the physics, actually, and I had no interest in physics in school, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, this all makes sense. It's all like, it's all a projection. It's a dream, and when you die, I mean, it's interesting you had the caller on. When you die, you wake up from the dream. It's like, I think Ram Dass once said it so beautifully that, you know, Ram Dass is a great spiritual teacher, very humble spiritual teacher. He said that, you know, dying is like taking off a pair of very, very tight shoes. It's like, God.
Yeah.
Like, my God, this has been a long day schlepping around.
You did talk about the laws of thermodynamics, and one of the things you talked about was not the traditional laws that we know, but some of the non-traditional laws. And
the
reverse of that, right, yeah.
I was looking at saying, well, we actually, because I was going into that, at that point I had gotten into yoga. The thing that happened, and it sort of ends that chapter of New York, where I end up going into Peru, but really what happened was I was exhausted going out 3 a.m. and performing in clubs and, you know, and mud club and all this kind of reality. It wasn't really what was real for me anymore. And and then I had this, like, I blasted open and had this, I started doing yoga, and it was a traditional, what they call kundalini, and I literally dissolved, a Zen master would call it, self-erasure. So I went from deconstructing in the art to self-erasure, and it's like, but how about all the emotional integration? So the book goes on further, and that's where it gets a little more funny because, you know, it is the funniest thing. It's like, then you have to deal with all your quote-unquote crap, you know? And once you dissolve, there is no mountain, then what? You know, it's like, it's all an illusion. It's all holographic projection. But it's like, you know, how am I going to pay this rent?
Right. That's a minor detail. Keep that thought on. We're going to take a quick break, Jared. Again, my guest is Jared Rosen. The book is called Drowning in the Light. Anybody who has been trying to figure out, you know, taking some spiritual journeys on your life, this would certainly be a great book for you to read. And we'll get back. And now that we've sort of, like, hit the New York thing, and because, you know, it was the basics on some level as to obviously where you are at this time in your life, and then we'll sort of, and of course you went to Peru before a lot of other people went to Peru, and that was, you know, sort of a whole other thing and to itself. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, some of that. But I also want to, when we come back, I want to, like, I mean, I understand the zero point thing, and I don't know how you're going to be able to relate to that to sort of other people, but what I also really want to talk about after this break is where you feel, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but where you feel this with what you mean the new age has meaning for you, because this is something I think is a very, very important thing, and my listeners will love to listen to it. This is Suzanne Northup with my special guest Jared Rosen on Drowning in the Light. We're going to have a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne Northrup of Blog Talk Radio. My special guest is Jared Rosen, and the book is called Drowning in the Light. So, through all of this sort of like happened, I read obviously how you ended up, you know, traveling to Peru and how you ended up somehow being chosen to go there and work with the shamans and the medicine men. When you were talking about some of the things that you ingested, I couldn't help feeling that, and I didn't know if this was the same or what, but the people, anybody who's read, you know, Castellanos will know about the tolache weed. And I kept thinking that it sounded to me like, obviously, but it wasn't mentioned, and you didn't mention in the book, that that was either similar to some of the, you know, the plants that you had, you know, during the shaman period, or the experiences were similar to that, combined with the fact that you were in Peru, which we know is like high altitude, altitude, among, you know, all the other kind of things that was sort of like going on. I think the fact that you did this was actually pretty interesting. So give us sort of like a quick, you know, was this your first hanging out with shamans experience? Because I know you talked a lot
absolutely.
About your stuff with yoga and people of that sort, but I think that this was sort of first in that arena, correct?
Yes, it was all very, very fast. Literally, I went from a world in Soho that would be considered more no wave art. It was new wave and it was punk, but
right.
no wave
mm-hmm.
was like artists that didn't really know what they were doing would pick up instruments and play it. And actually, I was doing those kinds of things and in lofts and that whole world. And then all of a sudden, you know, I had this shift when I had this experience with the yoga, and everything dissolved. And I went inward, and as I went inward, I began to really discover, that I was really on this path, and the reason why I had taken all these plants, mushrooms, and things on my own was this discovery and reading physics at the same time. And so it was kind of in a strange world. My parents didn't understand what the hell I was doing or what I was
true.
About.
That's definitely true.
You know, exactly.
Oh,
and at
yes.
the same time, you know, I talk about my experience in the Museum of Modern Art, you know, picking up the dry cleaning for the curators, and then seeing Jean-Michel Basquiat outside. He was pretty much homeless and sitting out selling his T-shirts, and you know, his work sells for, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And you know, that era was a very interesting time. But to kind of take you to, you know, the answer to your question, like where and you know what led me to Peru was I actually left the art world and explored, you know, going on to retreats and things, and that's when I discovered. And I had met Alberto Villaldo, who was a PhD at the time and written about this. And but it's interesting.
I've had him on my show a couple of times. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Stuff.
It was 1984. And the thing is, like you're saying, yes, it wasn't a regular thing that people would go do these things. And but I knew that I needed to have like a death of who I thought I was, and it needed to be extreme. And that was that sort of artist, I think, in me needed the extreme. It didn't, for some people, they would go take est on the weekend after, you know, 40-hour work week. I, you know, pulled myself out of reality. So, but all of that really was about me discovering the same thing I kept discovering. You mentioned the zero point, was that reality was kind of slippery. And the more I went into the physics and, it's fascinating that, you know, years later, you know, I'm with someone in a conference that I've been working with, and he privies me to a film called What the Bleep. He says, I'm working on it with these guys. And I go, oh, my God, this is the stuff I've been reading for the last 10 years. You think anyone's really interested?
Exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But the thing was what these movies and the books and all of it's really kind of pointing to us is that we participate with reality. It's not, you know, it's a participatory experience. And I think that's why I wanted to write a book that was that people, like you said, you could relate. And I, you know, you asked about the zero point. That particular description of some kind of experience that's kind of anomalous, I refer to it throughout the book because it's something people can actually relate to.
Yes.
And I know you asked
yes.
me that. If you want, I can share with you what, and maybe you
yes.
you'll be able to relate to this more than because you're the experience you have with the kind of clients and what the experiences they've had. Okay, so what it is in the book, the first time I had the experience is when I was actually on psychedelic mushrooms in the bowels of lower Manhattan in the wee hours of night, and somebody pulled a gun on me and stuck it in my belly, and all of a sudden time stood still. Now, I had
mm-hmm.
several other situations and things, and I talk about it in the book, but what I've discovered over the years is people relate to this, and I think it has something to do with the speeding up of the metabolism. Because people talk about, maybe you can relate, I've heard stories of people that were bucked off of a horse, time stood
mm-hmm.
still, and they landed on their feet. People that even
yes.
in a car accident where it was like they knew, you know,
but,
like, yeah, tell us.
You go kind of in an
I'm sure you have those stories, right?
Consciousness, is, for lack of a better word. You go into that altered state. You go into the state where you are, like, literally on some level out of your body. You know, I mean, that's sort of a, you know, a light way of saying it, but that's kind of what does happen at that time. But there's one thing that I kind of wanted to mention, and I know that this is very true, and for people out there that have gone through these paths, there is a thing about what's called, you know, the serotonin is released from the brain, and when the serotonin is released from the brain, you sort of have these things happen to you. But what also happens is that throughout ages, shamans, if they were to use the drugs that you go through in the process of shamanism, if it's used for spiritual purposes, it's considered to be okay. You know, and I know throughout the years that, you know, yogas have done this. And anytime you use anything, like you said, at that time, it is for a spiritual experience. So what you was experiencing a little bit of with the gun at you, you were really going to those layers. I mean, at that moment, you were really going to them.
Right, and I created that, and I created these experiences to unglue myself. See, this is what happens when you're sitting in the desk at, you know, in fourth grade, and you're seeing everything, the particles, and seeing that maybe nothing's solid. Maybe we are like alphabets in the alphabet soup.
Right.
Floating
right.
around, you know,
right.
and then, you know, years and years later, you have people like Deepak Chopra, you know, all of a sudden on the airwaves, we're made of 99.999% empty space. And I'm not a fan of him. I love the man. So, yes,
yeah.
he is, people like Deepak have come on shows like Larry King, you know, and Oprah talking like this, and people didn't
yeah.
know what to believe. So I think we're starting to unglue, but I think I wrote the book because I was so dramatic, the experience that I've created for myself. I mean, you know, working with kids on the ranch, you know, and those things
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
happened, and, you know, and
right,
the boundaries of sanity and
yeah.
all of it.
right.
And,
right.
Yeah, I figured that other people may not have to go through those experiences to experience the observations that I came to from.
Yeah, but Jared, the bottom line in life doesn't work that way. Everybody's got to go through whatever their experiences are. So
exactly. Of course. Yeah.
Great,
it was more of a joke,
place.
Knowing that there's no
right,
way I'm,
I know,
gonna, I'm going to shortcut
right.
it, give anyone
a
shortcut
from
my experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing
yeah.
is that, you know, certainly people that have gone down that road are going to totally, like me, are going to totally relate to it because, you know, when from
right. That's why it's memories of the new age. I think that's
at a
what
young
we did.
Age and, right. That's well, when you've been speaking to dead people since you were really, really young, and you know, you realize that the world somewhere along the line didn't do this, and this was not normal. You know, a lot of things are going to transpire in that process. So of course I you know related a lot to yours. But what I also wanted to say, just in terms of I do want to get to. Because usually there is always, for most people, either something dramatic, traumatic, that moves us from one place to sort of another. And I certainly want to get to that, you know, at some point with, you know, with some of your, you know, your illness stuff here. But I also want to talk about how you, somewhere along the line, started to develop, you know, your management programs and worked with, you know, different people. What you basically did is you integrated this process to make it work for you on some level where you're able to make a living, which is always a wonderful thing that happens in life. So, but before I kind of want to go there, I wanted to, because for everybody that hasn't read the book, you were very drawn to working with children, and you worked with children that had a lot of issues, emotionally disturbed, and I know that some of them were extremely intense for you. You probably were going to places with them that other people were not going through. I know you were able to in turn do some of your art therapy with them, which I think probably those things were also quite wonderful. But when you were also doing this, were you trying to, because I know you were doing that, were you also using a lot of your spiritual, shamanic, whatever, experiences as you were trying to integrate within some of these children, Donald, obviously for the one in particular?
It's a really, really good question. And, you know, actually, I came from being in the art world in the late 70s and wanting to inspire like a mystical, like a period of art that was filled with mysticism. Mm-hmm. And certainly that was a dream I had. Because of the unconscious and symbology and all these things that interest me, iconography and archives. And what happened was I ended up getting a master's degree in art therapy after I came back from Peru. How did I do an application of it? And what I saw was an art expressive therapist was a clinical shaman, because I used symbology, symbols, and sound. I brought drums in. We drummed into states, guided imagery. I was working with these kids, and they were lying down. We had kids that had been so severely abused, and just having them, you know, go into these beautiful mm-hmm. inner spaces and feel safety and security. I even worked with the criminally insane at one point and was doing the same thing, having them close their eyes. I mean, this one guy I worked with had cut his wife into several pieces and rolled her in the carpet. And I was saying, you know, close your eyes, and I was closing my eyes, and I wasn't fearful because the inner world, everything is safe to me.
Yes.
And I saw that was what I needed to do was to help people discover that. And so, yeah, the art and the artwork and the guided imagery and all that was very important. But what I also discovered was I ran up against these experiences with these children that I had my own – there was that my interest or my need to heal them, or because I you know, couldn't imagine some of the things that happened to some of these kids that put them in these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
And I really – like saw my own, like that's what I think this whole thing is. It's you go out helping people, even if you're Mother Teresa, you're doing it for yourself. It's
yes.
all the journey of the soul awakening, going through these soul
right.
maneuvers to actually evolve and to get to a place where, I don't know if it's a place, but
right.
you know what
right.
I'm saying.
Right. No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course, I know.
And that was why I brought
why
that up.
Conversation here.
Because the thing is that, you know, you were healing yourself while you were working on healing them. And, of course, we think our goal is to, you know, to heal others. But we also know that that's ultimately about ourselves, because you yourself had gone through so many of your own inner traumas, demons, whatever you want to call it, in terms of on your journey. So you were – it was natural for you to want to, you know, do that with children. And a sidebar from that is what I've always told, you know, my students over the years – you know, if you have kids and they've gone through, like, you know, having the ice cream and the cake party, whatever, you want them to chill, get them to meditate. And they will, like, they'll like zone. I mean, they're like, oh, yeah, just tell them to do it. You know, they'll just do it.
Oh,
I'm a big
advocate of children meditating. And, you know, I have to say my life is very calm and peaceful. And, you know, the stories, you know, it was a journey that I created. And that's why I was able to write the book, because I'm able to reflect and you know, I have a lot of gratitude. Because, you know, at the end of the book, really, it was almost the end of my story. I came inches mm-hmm. away from leaving, and I don't know if there's a message there, but certainly when my literary agent saw this book, and we worked together, partners in the business world as well, but when he read it, it had to be published, and he knew that there was a message for a lot of people that have kind of been molded by the New Age, which is incredible, you know,
mm-hmm. Right,
you know,
right.
reprogramming to, you know, think that we, you know, participate in our reality, but that we create our own reality and we create the diseases and we have to uncreate it. It really is, like, it's torture.
Yes. So hold that thought. We're going to take another quick break. Again, the number to call in, guys, is 347-945-7785. My guest is Jared Rosen. The book is called Drowning in the Light. And we're going to come back, and I want to talk we're going to talk a little bit about that, but then I'm going to ask you, what I call, the big question. But before we get to the big question, we'll take a quick break. This is Suzanne Northup with my guest, Jared Rosen, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. It's Suzanne with my special guest, Jared Rosen. We'll call Drowning in the Light. We're having a good time here. We're chatting away. So one of the other questions that I sort of wanted to mention to you, because, I wanted you to share this with my listeners, is that there's always, with all the years of you going through this, from going to Peru and your meditations and your yogas and the working with the children and really sort of, going on this path, as I said, there's not everybody, but most people usually go to something that really challenges them in their life. And one of the big challenges, of course, we face is death, the big D, so to speak. But I know that you faced that, or at least, certainly had to revisit that, so to speak, in terms of when you got your illness. And it was interesting because you actually, out of that, did probably something that I would have figured anybody would have done in your path, in your journey, as you went through obviously all these alternative things and alternative people and alternative ways and alternative healing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you sort of, as you went down the line from that, you sort of turned it around and realized you need a combination of the Western and whatever it is. So I'm giving the quick thing of sort of what you went through, but what you went through at that time, that was really when you were coming face to face, I believe, from all of this journey that you had now gone on.
Well, yeah, I mean, the time is a little compressed, in the nature of writing a book, and I wanted to make it a very short book because I just wanted people to read it and have the experience and not have too much filler, just really get right to the jugular.
That. Right, that's why I'm asking you the question, because, go ahead.
But I think where it leads to is, and several chapters, is a chapter called The Science of Transfiguration, where I start I've gone so deep now into understanding that, that we actually could transform into light, that we're made of light, and with substantial research about biological superconductivity and reversing entropy and these kinds of things, and the possibility of the next level of human evolution. So from that place, and actually discovering and teaching a system that people use to, and many people have experienced healing, and over the 80s when I began that, and into the early 90s, and then turning it into a more of a corporate application, but using a lot of the same principles that I discovered when I, went into the scientific, language. But basically what happened was I came out of a divorce in 2008, and actually I was, before I even had moved out of the house, I saw bruises all over my body. I thought my ex was like beating on me in the sleep. And it turned out that...
Well, maybe that was the case.
Well...
Yeah, but you have to be literal, you understand that.
It's
manifesting itself
somewhere. And exactly. And in the book, I try not to go personal or even blame, and I know we created this reality. I created... By creating the circumstances, not creating all the details. And from that, after the divorce, I discovered bruises all over my body, and I started bleeding. And yeah, I started looking at all these alternative things, but at that point, it was pretty serious. And for several years, 2011, I was in the hospital for over 10 days. My antibodies are like killing my platelets, and any time 90% of my platelets are gone, which you just turn into a puddle of blood. So over the years, I had a doctor, a hematologist, and everything, and yet. And my wife, and they're like, well, why don't you just, you get the surgery and all the drugs and all that. And I did all the natural things. And in my case, and those things enhance. But it came down to it, and I use this metaphorically, but it's, kind of one of the last scenes towards the end of the book when my stomach is hurting and I'm actually bleeding internally. And I tell my wife I'm going to Whole Foods to get a kombucha. Kombucha is like... supposed to help, give positive flora. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many listeners probably know it is because it's probably in every store now. And it's a good thing and everything, but when you're bleeding from the inside, so she was like, okay, well, I guess that's where it'll end. We'll scrape you off the parking lot of Whole Foods. So out of that, I realized that, yes, it's all an illusion. It's all a holographic, including the pill that I have to take every night for the rest of my life, according to at this point in the dream.
Right.
We may change at
right.
any point, but at this point, and that's what I think we learn to do. That's how we evolve. We hold ourselves in a particular way. It doesn't last because everything shifts. Physically we hold ourselves, in a particular age, and then we look in the mirror and we're not that age anymore. So everything, not just the outside, the inside, is continually, transforming. We're like a pulsating energy more than a fixed thing. And,
right.
We've got to be open to everything, and that's what I learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with that, the $64,000 question, which is, the one that I'm, really wanting
to. That's not worth much these days. That was an old show. $64,000 was worth
a lot
back then.
That show doesn't exist anymore, I know. What would it be now, like $1.5 million or something like that? So, so the subtitle again was intimating the new age, memories of a new age. So obviously it was one of those terms that were coined and et cetera during this time. So I know you feel that the new age has a lot of meanings, and I know you also talked about the harmonic conversion, which I was in Mexico during that time. I got asked to come and speak in 2012. Which was actually kind of cool out there by one of the pyramids. But anyway, I know I know you feel like it has a lot of meaning, and I know that you are sort of a play on word at this point in your life. So, what meaning does it have for you now or not? And what do you think the vision for your future is in relationship to this?
Well, it does play into the title because, from the one of the early experiences, in Santa Fe in 1987, with Jose Arguelles announcing that, we're entering a period of the end of the Mayan calendar, to actually many years later being in publishing and helping them, with a book project and these things and other books that I worked on and a film even about the subject. So I'm certainly, I know a lot of the people that have produced the media around it. And I understand, we are going through an amazing shift. It's like it's a moving light show, and I'm sure there's a lot of science to it. But it also is every moment we're recreating this dream of who we are, and at looking outside for events in time and space never really seems to be fulfilling. and it all sounds like platitudes, but it is true. Like they say, it's all inside, and it is inside. And so for me, that's where the book goes into, like, from the new age to no age, to being happy with my age, which is, you know, being happy being in a human body and having a wonderful wife and a great home and a beautiful community and the gift to be able to help
while
other
you're in the wine company
authors.
In Northern California. What's wrong with that?
Exactly.
What's wrong with the
wine
country in Northern California?
If you go a little further up north, it turns into the other. We keep America high. Northern California. No, it's really great to
I live in Northern California, dear, so I know.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of things
that
we grow
well.
On vines and leaves, and but I think that really, I mean, my gift is that I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
That I was rushed to the hospital, and I had a platelet count of zero, and that it actually really probably made this. It was like it, that. I knew the book was. I knew I had the last chapter, because each one of the chapters, I have these zero point experiences where I slip into the void, you know, where time and space don't exist, where you know you can reset reality because you're in, you're inside of create. Creators inside of creation, and your awareness of that dissolves the boundaries. And these things don't happen. They just happen, like in time, in various ways. But this last one, it was congruent to this whole zero point, because there's nothing lower than zero. But the cool thing is, zero is not the lowest number. Zero is the source of all numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The source of all that is. So zero is nothing and everything. And that's a lot of what my shamanic journey was. It was to experience everything is vibration. Everything has its own unique vibration. And I got that in physics, too. Everything's vibrating at its own resonant frequency. But it's all part of one totality that's nameless and faceless. But it's who we are.
Right. Right. Well, that's good. That was,
did I get to 64,000?
Yeah, no, well, you know, I mean, I can't, because that's too low a number for you now, Jared, but, you know.
I'll take anything. I'm an author.
Yes, of course we are. So that's it. So just real quick here, again, the name of the book is called Drowning in a Life. Jared Rosen is the author. I assume people can get this in stores
and
or
actually
Amazon.
And actually, it's Amazon, the best place to buy it. It's just Drowning in the Light. It's under I.J. Rosen. Because I have other books that were under Jared Rosen, but this is special. It's
got
I.J. Rosen, pen name, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, anyway, you can check out the book. Amazon, I always think, is the best place to get, you know, most of the books as well, you know, but you can, of course. Now, if
have a
if
few books.
Want to know, so I know that you're involved with your executive stuff and coaching and all of that kind of stuff, and I don't know if you work with different. I assume you work with different organizations and things of that sort. And I know you actually work with the Commonwealth Club, which, by the way, I happen to love them. They do great stuff.
Well, actually, no. I had spoken there many, many years ago on a panel around spirituality and business, and that was like in the early '90s. So I really love. I mean, the work that I do now that I'm really about is not organizations. It's actually authors and filmmakers and people in media, and really helping them discover what their story is, because it's all that's what people really want. They want to engage in a story that's and we're all telling our story, whether individually or collectively. So that's really one of my true passions. And actually, if anyone wants. People are working on book projects and want to see what we're up to and actually share what they're doing with us. They can do it right on our website, which is dreamsculpt.com. That's like dream, D-R-E-A-M, sculpt, S-C-U-L-P-T, dreamsculpt.
Well, that's a good thing
word.
To know, because actually I'm always asked by certain people that are in the process of writing the books or have written the books where to go. So that's a great thing to know. So,
yeah, we're really about building the platform and build the audience before we publish the book, and specifically, you know, what I've been into doing for years is media ebooks, and I think that's the new way is, you know, it's the hybrid experience, you know, where people were used to digesting media in new ways. So I've been exploring that even with music, and it's really been a really totally cool. And you can see a lot of that stuff if you go into DreamSculpt. You can get a sense of what we have. We work with,
I will definitely check that out. You know, I may be, be calling you myself,
Oh, absolutely. No, this happens every time we get on radio because, we all have great, I'm sure your stories are fantastic. I mean, I just, hearing the first 5 minutes of the show, I was very, very intrigued and could listen further because it's fascinating, the way you tap in and tune in to people. And I know it's all energy. You can feel their energy. And
it's all energy, yes. And, like you, this is something I had my whole life, and it wasn't, I think when you have experiences as children, which, of course, you did, and you were very aware that you were different and you saw things differently than other people, I'm not saying it's not different when you're older, but I think it's different when you're older because I think when you're younger, you're in such a very different state. Your evolvement, is a little different than when you get older. And when that door hits you younger, which by the way it hits probably most people younger, I just don't think that they either open it or they, for whatever circumstances in their lives, it doesn't happen. Yours is obviously so strong that you just did it. Mine was so strong too, but you probably had a little bit more of a parenting, so to speak, than I did. So in your case, I think that because I know you, you grappled with your father being proud and all that other kind of stuff. So I think that probably in your case, in some ways, made it more difficult to you, but you knew you had to follow it. I mean, bottom line, you knew you had to follow it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and I think everyone should. I think everyone just needs to really just stop listening to anything other than the truth that resides within their heart. And it sounds like a platitude to listen to your heart, but actually, it speaks. It speaks in silence.
Absolutely. Yes. And we all know that when we don't do that, not only do we get lost, but we never follow whatever it is that, is our path or our journey or our,
We get lost. It's fun to get lost.
Yes.
And I think maybe the whole Earth experience is kind of like it's created so we can get lost and experience and out of it what we can. But some people get lost and they're just running around the parking lot waiting for the ride to get back home. The other people have found new worlds that nobody has ever seen before because they dare to wander out of the parking lot. So I'm here to encourage everyone or anyone that, that's on that journey to go for it, with great gusto. But I also, I think my stories are like, wow. I've had a lot of people said, wow, you really created, you talk about create your own reality. You really created some difficult situations. And I don't think they were. It's all relative.
Right, but I think
that's how we grow and evolve, and I think that if it doesn't happen now, eventually all of us are going to awaken to every aspect of ourselves that that's who we truly are.
Yep. Well, the book is Drowning in the Light, R.S. Rosen. We're almost running out of time. This has been great, Jared. Really, really great book.
Oh,
I'm
wonderful.
Thrilled to have you on the show. Thrilled to talk to a former New Yorker and who's went on a phenomenal journey. Again, the I.J. Rosen, Drowning in the Light. Check it out. Check out his company. It's DreamWorks, right?
Oh no, that's Steven Spielberg. Mine's a little smaller. DreamSculpt. DreamSculpt.
You got
so it's actually
see,
dream scope,
you,
like
Jared.
you would take
I'm
your dream and sculpt
you.
It into reality.
Okay. Thanks again for being a great best. And
thank you again.
All the best to you. All the best to you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. And everybody, check me out. I'm going to be in Saratoga August the 23rd, and then I will be in Nashville next month in September, the last Sunday of the month. And great show. Check it out. I think you're going to really, really, really enjoy his book. And as always, enjoy the rest of your summer. Make sure that you've at least jumped in the pool or you've taken a walk or you've taken a hike or you've smelled the roses or you've smelled the flowers. Always, always good. And as always, I hope that everything you want may be yours. All right, lovey, we're ready for Din Din. Good. Yeah, he's good.
Warren Buffett. Guy who is basketball team, I forget his name, dark hair. And Mike Bloomberg are all supporting Hillary. Warren Buffett just gave a speech in Omaha, Nebraska. And so did the other time.
Yep. Well, they have to.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.